Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Grant Money here at Car Talk Plaza. We have a new plan, a new approach for funding. Get this. We're applying for a grant from the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. Now,
Otherwise known as not invented here.
Yeah. As everyone knows, we've been utterly unsuccessful in trying to raise money from outside sources to do this show. Why? Well, we can't get money from anyone remotely connected with the automotive industry.
I don't understand why that is.
Because we've ticked them all off, and they won't touch us with a 10-foot crankshaft.
Who needs them?
We've ticked off educators.
Yeah.
They're out.
Yeah.
Lawyers, it goes on to say, after all those jokes on the website.
Politicians? Oof. Hopeless.
Hollywood, they hate us. Cellular phone makers.
Done for.
Consumer goods.
No.
Insurance companies.
Oh.
The judicial system.
Yeah.
No good. Law enforcement.
No.
No. The entire country of France. There's nobody left. So we're applying.
Don't forget the Middle East. The entire Middle East.
So we're applying for an NIH grant based on the following information.
Here it is. My darling sister-in-law, Monique, sent me this. It says, this is from Shape Magazine.
Yes.
She sent it to me because she knew I was in such great shape.
Yeah, she subscribes to Shape, and I get out of Shape.
So, I mean, this is a little item.
Here's Shape.
It says, the next time you want to boost your health, skip the health club and go to a comedy club. According to Stanford University School of Medicine psychiatrist William Fry, laughing burns calories and helps your health. While exact caloric expenditure is not yet known, it is thought that 100 good laughs, now get this, equals the physiological benefits of 10 minutes on a rowing machine. Mirthful laughter has a positive impact on many physiological functions. The brain is stimulated. Da, 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 da. Now, here's why I read this. Because out of all this, she chose to underline.
And if you laugh hard enough, it'll clear your sinuses.
Clear your sinuses. She underlines one line. It says, The brain is stimulated with greater alertness, as Fry says, which may enhance memory, sociability, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she underlines, the quality of the wit doesn't seem to matter. Only the quantity. No, what did she mean by that?
I don't know.
No, so based on this, I suppose we can raise some money to study it. We'll just study it.
Who sent you that?
Your wife.
My wife. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too. So no more rowing machines, no more treadmills, no more. Well, who is that? What is that company that makes that thing you can't stand on? You keep falling off. Nordic Track.
Oh yeah, the Nordic torture.
Yeah, the Nordic.
Well,
torture.
I remember years ago, maybe about 6 months ago, watching a Three Stooges episode, and I don't remember the gist of it except that. One of the main characters besides the Stooges was the King of Coleslawvania, King Cole. And every day...
When did they get the stuff?
And every day he would have his subjects come into wherever he sat on his throne, and they would have their daily laugh. And they would just look at each other and start laughing. Andrew and I do that all the time.
Well, who is it? Is it Norman Cousins? That's the guy, right? Who claims to have saved his own life by laughing himself silly.
Yes. Or you could laugh yourself to death.
Oh, one way or the other.
If you want to call us about your car, your health, your laugh, or anything else.
Or if you have some grant money that you'd like to give us.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary, and I'm calling from Milwaukee.
Mary!
What's up, Mary? Maria?
What was that joke about? That was the beer that made Milt Famey walk us. Never mind.
too hard. What's up, Mary?
I recently purchased a 1965 Galaxy 500.
Did you really?
Yes. And it's
Isn't it a great car?
It is a fun car. Hey, you know what I lack in looks, I have to make up for in accessories, so I figured why not.
So you accessorized with a 65 Galaxy.
Absolutely. But I have a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes when unless the car's really warmed up very well, I can't get it into gear.
It's an automatic?
Yes. And when I go to leave for work in the morning, sometimes I go to put it in reverse and it won't pop into gear.
The shifter moves, right?
The shift moves.
But nothing happens.
But then you have to floor it, and then it will go into gear. But it doesn't happen all the time.
It's perfectly normal.
We're all have our...
Yeah, that's how they ran in 65, too. You have checked the automatic transmission fluid?
Yes, I had it checked last week, I think it was, and it's fine.
Well, it may be, but the thing it's in ain't fine.
How long have you had the car now? This looks like months.
2 months.
So you've done really nothing to it?
No.
And you don't know what was done to it earlier?
No.
Was it, was it beautiful when you got it? Was it in great condition?
Good condition. I, of course, bought it sight unseen because that's how you should buy a 65 Galaxy.
Like a blind date.
No. I bought it from another woman, actually.
Yeah.
But I went to get the oil changed and everything, and I was low on transmission fluid, and I had more put in, but it's still doing it.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that may have been what cooked it. What's your tolerance for bad news?
Oh, I'm Irish. I can handle it.
Have you had a lot of guys looking at you when you're driving this car?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's why you got it, huh?
Yeah. It's an accessory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me give it the good news first.
I was groping for some good news,
It's not great news. But it's possible that if you took the car back and asked them to change the transmission fluid and the filter.
Yeah, it might work well enough for you to sell it.
Okay.
It might work well enough for you to live with it, even. It might. And that would be real cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, so I'll let my brother tell you that because everyone hates him already anyway.
I have to put a pork chop around my neck to get the dog to play with me. Yeah, no, I think you're done for, and I think you're going to need a complete transmission rebuild.
So, but could I even do that on a 65 Galaxy?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You got to find a very old transmission.
You have to go to, like, a rest home.
And you got to find some old guy named Krusty.
Right. Well, you know, the only guys that ever stop and ask me about my car are old guys. So.
Well, ask them if they ever worked in the transmissions.
I can.
Yeah. Old guys can be fun, you know.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
So here's the thing to do. First, go and have the automatic transmission fluid drained out and new stuff put in and the filter changed.
Okay.
And see if it gets better.
Okay.
And if it does, forget about it until it happens again. And then you can think about doing something with the transmission rebuild.
Like waxing the car and selling it.
But in any case, I don't think I'd go crazy rebuilding anything of that magnitude unless I had the rest of the car checked out. For example, this could be a rust bucket underneath. Well, the frame could be all rotted, and you wouldn't know it because it looks good up top.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you bought it sight unseen, and you haven't had it checked out by anyone, really, have you?
No.
Yeah. You should before you commit to the transmission, have someone check it, because you could be throwing good money after bad.
Okay.
See you, Mary.
Good luck, Mary from Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Alex from Minneapolis.
Hey, do you know my friend Les Block?
Les Block?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
He sounds like he should be in our credits, Les Block. He should be on our staff.
As what?
I don't know. Les Block, more Block. I don't know. Yeah. I'll think of something.
Well, listen, I have a 1989 Dodge Omni. When I turn left, I can hear kind of a growling, like, and also, though, when I'm going over 50, when I turn left, only on a curve, but only left, it goes as I turn the wheel to the left.
And how long has it been making this noise?
About 3 weeks to a month, and it's gotten progressively worse slightly.
Yeah. You're not that concerned about it.
It's not a horrible sound, no.
Does it sound like the noise is coming from the wheel area or from right up there on the dashboard?
No, it's definitely outside.
It's out there. I think you have a bad wheel bearing.
Oh, okay.
And if you listen carefully, I'll take that back. If you could listen carefully, i.e., if you could hear it over all the other noises the car makes, you might be able to hear the wheel bearing making noise even when you're going straight ahead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the reason it makes its noise worse when you make a left-hand turn, I would guess it's the right front wheel bearing that's bad.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Oh.
Does it sound like the noise is coming from the right? Should I have asked that question?
Does it?
I honestly haven't been able to distinguish.
That's all right. That's neutral.
See, this is how we get by with most of our answers, because they all sound so logical, and everything seems to fit.
You know what? To tell you the truth, though, I can't hear out of my left ear, so I can't tell where things are coming from.
Well, too bad you don't have the phone up to your left ear now.
You'd be much better off.
But I,
well,
I mean,
it would be good to have someone ride with you.
Okay.
If anyone will. Maybe you've lost all your friends already. But they could, like, roll down the window on the passenger side and see if the noise seems to be coming from there. But you really have to have a professional look at it.
Because
this could be dangerous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's a good chance that if you took it to a shop, the mechanic might be able to hear it.
Okay.
Then he can just replace it, and you don't have to have it seize up on you when you're doing 70 miles.
You're not doing 40. You're not 40, doing 70
when
in this
you're
car.
Speeding at 40 miles an hour on the freeway.
Good luck, Alex.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cindy from Dos Ritos, New Mexico.
From where, New Mexico?
Dos Ritos.
Dos Ritos.
Si.
What is a rito?
Two small rivers.
Rito?
Si.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Like Rio is a river, but Rito is a little river.
Si.
Oh, a little river. Okay, yeah. Because I thought I knew the word for river.
They like would never, you, Rio you would Grande. Never say Rito Grande.
It's not the Rito Grande.
No, no.
No, because that would be a
contradiction. Anyway, what's going on, Cindy?
Well, it's what went on. About, 6 weeks ago, I had severe carbon monoxide poisoning.
Ooh.
And a week later, I was driving to the hot springs to chill out because I was still stressed. And I have a 99 Subaru Forester. I, by accident, redlined it because I thought I was in fifth gear and I was driving it in third. The car died within about 10 miles.
How fast were you going in third?
I was probably doing 70. It was certainly no more than a mile.
Could you have been doing 80?
I don't think so. I was on a dirt road.
A dirt road? 70 miles an hour.
Is there any chance that you were in first gear? I mean, first, third, and fifth are all... I mean, I could believe if you were in first gear.
Well, you know, see, I had this carbon monoxide poisoning, and I was pretty out of it.
Well, why? Let's go back to that. How did you get carbon monoxide poisoning?
Oh, I moved into a new house, and the guy who installed the wood stove did it wrong.
Oh, it didn't happen in the car.
No, that wasn't in the car.
So you get carbon monoxide poisoning, and...
And your head wasn't right, Cindy.
That's right.
Your head wasn't right, so you don't know what gear you were in, but you think it was third.
Uh-huh.
I agree with my brother. I can't believe that you would get to the red line in third gear.
Well, I suppose it's possible that you did it in third. I'd be more likely to believe it in first.
Yeah.
But the question is, what do you do now? Is that what you want to know?
Well, actually, what happened, it's already been fixed, but I'm calling you guys to assuage my guilt.
No, we might not be able to assuage.
We might not be able to do that, but I have to say that I'm a little bit surprised that one lousy mile at the red line revs would fry the engine.
That's what I wanted you to say.
How many miles were on this engine?
52,000.
Yeah,
52.
I mean, I think Subaru should be a little embarrassed at this.
Well, Subaru covered it, actually.
They did. Well, they were a little embarrassed at this.
They were a lot embarrassed.
But they didn't. I didn't tell them the truth about how.
That's all right. We're sending the tape to them right now. We're downloading you as we speak.
So your name isn't Cindy, and you're not from Doritos.
Oh, you're on to me.
So what did? Why did they willingly give you an engine?
I had a mechanic look at it. He said this should be covered under the powertrain warranty.
Ah, okay.
I called Subaru, whatever, and the dealer fixed it before they even called me to ask how it happened.
Well, I'll tell you, you can't run most engines fast enough to destroy them like you used to in the old days.
Uh-huh.
You're not the only one that has done something like driving it in third or maybe even first gear,
uh-huh.
You know, at highway speed. So to protect the engine, they have these safety
governors.
These governors, exactly, built in so that, in fact, the engine, the fuel injectors will shut down when you reach a speed that's dangerous.
Okay.
So I'm suspecting that they rebuilt it because they felt that it wasn't your fault, but rather it was their fault.
Yeah, and that's the best tribunal Not us. I mean, you don't need us to assuage your guilt. Because if they paid for it, I mean, it's free for us, right? We say, Cindy Hall, whoever the heck you are, you're not guilty. And that doesn't cost us anything.
Okay.
But it costs Subaru $3,000 to put a new engine in your car. So they gave you the okay.
Okay.
But it was dumb to drive it through gear. You know, you still get a dope slap for it.
Well.
You're lucky that they were nice enough to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think, if in fact you really were in third gear, you didn't do this.
Okay.
Something was wrong.
Yeah, you were probably out of oil, but that's another topic.
Well, I didn't want to bring that up.
No. See,
so I can sleep well tonight, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. Just like those massages that you got there at the spa. You'll just lie there in bed tonight and say, all is right with the world. Thank God I didn't give my real name.
And just to be on the safe side, leave a window open a crack. You never know.
You never know.
Good luck, Cindy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have something that I know you've been waiting for all week.
Leftover fish night at Taco Barn?
No, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Ah, the puzzler, yes.
Yes, I mean, last week's puzzler was about a daily commute that ended in a big bang.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're going to like it, and we'll be back with all the details and more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Well, I can still remember daddy's old Corvette. I can close my eyes and see that car just like it's right there. Light blue vinyl bucket seats with a big flip-down armrest. The only seat belts that thing had was his arm across my chest. But he wound up trading it in for a 71 Torino station wagon.
And even though NPR's general counsel increases the limit on the network's malpractice insurance whenever he hears us say it. This is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's a puzzler. And this is from my Forces of Nature series.
You know, I was married to several forces of nature.
Yeah, well, so were they. Anyway, this puzzle was sent to me by a fellow named, I hope I pronounced his name right, Leszek Pavlovich. And who would know if I mispronounced it but him and his mother? Anyway, he writes the following. One day last week, I left home at the usual time and began my drive to work.
The usual time? That would be, what, noon?
No, not your usual time.
Oh, his usual
time. Leszek's usual
time. Okay, I get it now.
He says, I navigated the side streets without incident. I headed up the on-ramp of the interstate, and within about 5 minutes of leaving my driveway, I was in the flow of traffic doing like 75 miles per hour. All of a sudden, I heard this terribly loud bang.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I knew at once that my car was undrivable, and as quickly as I could, I pulled off into the breakdown lane. After checking to make sure I didn't need to go home and change my pants, I looked over at my car to figure out what had happened. Within about 2 minutes, I had the car in drivable condition, but I didn't dare go over 40 miles an hour.
Really?
Well, at the next exit, I got off the highway and drove the back roads to a friend's repair shop.
Huh.
He looked it over, made some notes, and gave me the estimate. $2,500.
$2,500? I could buy 5 cars for $2,500.
And you have. Get this. The entire quote was for body work. There were no repairs related to the engine, none to the transmission, no tires, no electrical work, nothing to do with any other part of the drivetrain.
Wow.
And here's the really interesting part. My car did not hit anything. It didn't hit another car or an obstacle in the road or a pothole, and nothing fell on it. Not a bird or a rock or a piece of Skylab, and no parts fell off. The question is, what happened.
Ooh.
Now, this is right up your alley.
It is. My alley?
This is right up your alley because this has happened to you.
Everything's happened to me.
Oh,
That doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I forgot. We might be here for hours.
This is no help at all.
I remember it happened to you with your Suburban.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You may not, maybe you weren't driving it. But what happened to you and to Leshek and maybe to many other people, the hood flew open.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It did happen to you.
That certainly did happen to me.
And, of course, nothing hit your car.
No.
Right?
Nope.
It didn't hit another car. The hood flew open. Actually, in his case, it damaged, of course, the hood, the roof, the A-pillars, the fenders, the hinges.
I remember.
$2,500 worth.
I remember, actually, I was in the car, and my wife was driving.
Wife number one, two, or three?
Yeah. I don't remember. One of those wives, and she's driving along, and suddenly, whoom! She says, "What happened?" I said, it's nothing.
It happens all the time, right? Well, it is kind of scary when it does happen.
It is really
scary. Because you don't know for a second.
You have no idea.
What happened. It's like somebody threw a blanket over you.
Yeah, it took a while.
You might want to take a nap when that happens. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yeah, our winner this week is Bruce Hall from Wintersville, Ohio. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Bruce gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a set of CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Now, for those of you not familiar with the reusable shopping bag trend that's now sweeping the nation.
Yes, now that they've seen us do it.
We have thoughtfully included instructions on how to use the bag right on the outside of the bag itself.
And they say what?
Step one, remember bag. Step two, use bag.
Got it.
Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll take any car question you want to throw at us.
Don't invite people to throw stuff at us. Come on, will you?
Bad idea. Good point, man. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Ed calling from Palmyra, Pennsylvania.
How you doing?
I'm building an airplane in my garage.
Oh,
man. Another wacko.
Is this the kind of plane that you fly with a remote control thing, or are you going to get in this thing?
No, you get in. It has two seats. I could even take a passenger.
Oh, sure.
That's all right.
I'm sure they're lining up
to go on a test flight. Building an airplane in your garage.
Doesn't everybody?
You know, you'd almost have to live in New Hampshire to do that.
Well, I used to live in New Hampshire, but now I'm in Pennsylvania.
Well, they threw you out because you were too wacko, right?
Is this your own design, or is there like
a kit? No, this is a kit.
It's a kit.
So the pieces come, and you rivet them together, and you paint it up, and you put an engine in it, and you go fly.
And what does it cost for a kit like this?
By the time I'm done, I'll probably have $50,000 into it.
Really?
But you'll have a brand new plane.
I mean, what do you want, to live forever?
No, but how about a couple of more weeks? And so how big is this plane? How long and how wide and
well,
stuff?
Well, when I describe it to people, I kind of describe it as like a Mazda Miata with wings.
Oh, it really is like that.
Yeah, it's got like a 30-foot wingspan. It's probably 25 feet long. And it's a little tiny two-seater.
Oh, so you can't put the wings on until you get it outside the garage.
Right. Well, it's only a one-car garage.
Right.
Oh, you can put one wing on.
So what other hobbies have you taken up, Alex? We still like to get some insight into your success rate. So you probably have a few questions, and here we are just killing time here.
Well, yeah, I did call up asking for, like, some actual advice.
Well, I just want to go on record here.
Yeah.
That I don't know anything about flying,
uh-huh.
And I certainly don't know anything about making an airplane, and I certainly don't know how anything that we could tell you could be useful.
Well,
but go fire away, baby.
The question I have actually is automotive. It's almost time for me to choose what kind of engine I want to put in here.
Yeah.
And I could spend $25,000 for a real honest-to-God aircraft engine, or I could spend about $15,000 for a converted Subaru 2.5-liter Legacy engine.
Right, right, right.
And I don't know anything about these engines, and I'm wondering if you guys can tell me what kind of history you've seen with them. You know, is it a robust enough engine to go for hours at a time at like over 4,000 RPM?
Hey, we just had a call from a woman with a Subaru engine that fried after 50,000 miles.
Oh, forget that then.
Well, but she claims that she had the thing redlined because she was driving it in the wrong gear.
Ah, okay.
This has been retrofitted for aircraft use?
Well, they put a little geared converter on the front so that when the engine is turning, you know, 5,000 RPM, the prop is only turning 2,500 RPM.
Uh-huh.
They mount it on a motor mount for you. They do all the plumbing and adapting and all that kind of stuff.
Jeez.
And what do you get for $25,000? I mean, this is not a place where you want to skimp.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to skimp anywhere, like skimp on like the landing gear.
I mean, I even buy cheaper wings if I had to.
For $25,000, you basically get 1940s technology. You get an air-cooled engine with magneto ignition, you know, updraft intake. All that kind of stuff.
Not carburetor.
And a carburetor.
Right, and a carburetor.
For $25,000?
Were you buying this from the Billy Mitchell plane factory?
This is what, brand new? I'm telling you, brand new.
But it is time-tested.
Yeah. Tested, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, they're kind of known for being reliable.
They sure are.
I mean, you're not going to be flying at any 30,000 feet.
Well, no.
What do you do, about 400, 500 feet?
How tall is your house?
You just want to miss the aerials.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. 150 feet is good. See, I have to say that I have no idea how to compare these two engines. I really don't have any idea. If it were I would go with the tried and true, although it's old technology, and it really is. I mean, it's 50-year-old technology.
Yes, it is.
But it works.
Well, we're very fortunate, you know, to have among our listeners people who are pretty knowledgeable about a lot of different things, a lot more knowledgeable than are we. So if you have access to the Internet, Ed, you can go to our website.
We'll do.
And you will, and you can post your little query here, and you'll get all kinds of opinions.
We'll put a little note right on the homepage of our website asking people for some help, because I'm worried about you, Ed. I mean,
I'm not worried about
you're not talking like a normal guy.
No, where's your sense of adventure?
No, Ed, what was the guy who did the thing with the weather balloons?
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the helium balloons in a lawn chair?
Yeah. What was his name?
I don't remember.
He was a cousin of yours, wasn't he?
His name was Walter somebody.
Yeah.
Walter somebody.
Yeah, for those of you unfamiliar with the story, this fellow bought a bunch of helium-filled weather balloons.
From the government surplus thing.
The government
weather
surplus.
Balloons.
And he attaches them to a folding lawn chair, you know, the kind of aluminum chair with the nylon webbing. And he takes it, and he's got his whole contraption attached to the bumper of his car with a substantial rope. And he cuts the rope and takes off. Not knowing where he will come down.
And he had with him a rifle. Remember that?
Yes, so he could shoot out the balloons to kind of ease his descent.
Larry Walters.
Larry Walters.
David just reminded me of it.
Larry Walters is the guy. And at about the third shot, he dropped the rifle.
But, I mean, this guy was seen at like 20,000 feet by pilots over L.A., saying, excuse me, control tower, did I just see what I just saw? Yeah, Larry Walters.
Well, Ed, we want to support you wholeheartedly in this.
Uh-huh.
And we want to distance ourselves as much as possible from any decision you may make.
Are you married, Ed?
No, I'm not.
Oh, lucky.
Oh. Well, hey, if you want excitement, man, why don't you just get married? Or if you don't want to live too long, why don't you just get married?
No,
if you don't want to live forever.
I don't want to live forever, but I don't want to make it seem like forever either.
Oh, you're a great guy, Ed.
Ed, we love you. And we need you to send us some pictures of your work in progress here.
Yeah, that would be great.
I will. When it's done, I'll fly over your house and take a picture of you.
Right. See you later, man.
Adios. Thanks.
I'm glad we didn't offer any advice. We got out of that one nicely, I thought.
Well, I was about to suggest a Subaru engine, actually.
You were. I was afraid of that.
Yeah. You got us out just in time.
Just in time.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Amy from San Francisco.
Amy, how you been?
Good, how are you?
I've been waiting to hear from you.
Well, good, I've been waiting.
What kind of a Honda do you have?
What kind of Honda?
No, wrong, huh?
No, I don't have a Honda.
Oh, all right. I just had Honda feelings there.
Oh, well, my mom sells Hondas. Maybe that's how you got the
Honda. Oh, that's it. Oh, that'll do it.
Okay. I'm calling actually about a 1992 Geo Prism with about 135,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's got this weird thing where if you drive it for any length of time, like over half an hour, and then stop it, it won't start back up again. But then if you leave it alone for an hour, or sometimes 2 hours, depending on how long I was driving it,
yeah,
it starts right back up, no problem. It usually starts back right back up right after I've called the tow truck, actually. Wait for me to call the tow truck, and then as soon as they get there, it starts right back up, and they look at me like I'm a total fool who doesn't know how to turn on the car.
Mm-hmm.
So you could almost make this do it. So, for
make
example, if you wanted to demonstrate this to your mechanic, you could drive the car for an hour.
And
make sure you end it up at the shop.
And right, and pull into his shop and shut the thing off and demonstrate to him that it didn't restart.
Well, we could do that if it wasn't so. It's deliberately thwarting us from trying to figure out what it is. Like one time, my husband did exactly that. He had an hour and a half drive, and he drove right to the gas station.
Excellent.
Where our mechanic is. Stopped, went inside, talked to the guy, went back out, tried to turn it back on, started right back up. Then drove the 3 blocks back to our house, turned off the car, and just out of curiosity, turned it back on, wouldn't start up.
Well, either you or your husband has to become the detective here, because otherwise this is going to drive you to the loony bin.
Well, it's really a hassle. We can't ever drive any place where we're not going to be there more than an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah, well, maybe it's the car's way of dictating your social life.
Yeah, since we're going out too much.
This is either a fuel a fuel problem or a spark problem.
Fuel or spark.
Yeah. Or oxygen. And I don't think the car is suffering from lack of oxygen, so it's going to be fuel or spark. And the way to determine easily is to test the spark first. And the easiest way to do this is to take it to your mechanic and have him show you how to determine when the engine has spark.
Okay,
when the ignition system is creating spark. And you can do it very simply with a screwdriver on the car like this.
It requires opening the hood and pulling off a spark plug wire, but it's not hard to do.
Okay, we can figure it out.
But you're going to say to him one of two things. Either, when it doesn't start, it has great spark, or it has no spark.
Okay.
And if it has no spark, then he's going to go ahead and replace the coil and the igniter. And if it does have good spark, then he's going to begin to look at the fuel system. But at least he'll know that the ignition system is okay, and they've eliminated many costly pieces that he's not going to replace. But my vote, if I had to guess here, I'd say
coil.
I'd say it's the coil or the igniter.
I'm with you, man.
But why does it happen only after we've been driving for a while?
Oh, we can't answer that. I mean, why? We'd have to
kill you then, Amy.
Come on, you can't ask all these questions. Why and what? You want what or you want why? Come on.
Next thing you're going to be asking us how.
Yeah.
We don't know how.
Oh, who?
No, when the coil heats up, it's often the case that when the engine is shut off, that the built-up heat will prevent the coil from working. And the same thing happens with igniters. So, and if the heat actually, the underhood temperature goes higher when you've turned the key off for a short period of time.
Okay,
because you've stopped moving the car and the heat that the engine has built up is liberated to these parts. And then once they get hot enough to create what's called an open circuit, they won't work. And then you let the thing cool off for a while, and boom, it starts up and it runs perfectly.
Yeah, and if you check for spark and you get no spark, that'll tell the mechanic that one of those two things has done this.
Okay.
And that's the answer to what? The answer to why we'll have to wait for our next book.
Okay.
See you, Amy.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have been so much help to everybody today. It's a great feeling to go home saying, I have helped people solve their problems. I made a difference today.
Yeah, you made a difference, all right. Hey, but anyway, in spite of that, it's time for us to take a break, isn't it?
It's about time. I mean, I need a break from the continual onslaught of strange and hard-to-interpret noises, you know?
Hey, that's just what our listeners say.
And we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in a minute.
I was flying down the interstate, leaning on the gas, when a strange hitchhiker caught my eye as I barreled past. Smoking to a stop, I thought it must just be the heat, or else I'd better switch to decaf or stop eating so much meat. He had a glow about his head, sandals on his feet, a long white beard, a flowing robe, the image was complete. Had it been 1965, I'd not have thought a thing, except that everybody knows that hippies don't have wings.
And even though applications for offshore oil rig positions increase whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new...
Automotive?
No.
Folkloric?
No.
Clever?
Mm.
Good? The new puzzler.
That's an apt description.
Well, let people put their own little adjectives in there. The new blank puzzler.
Okay, I'm going to read a list of words.
Yeah.
And your assignment, if you choose to accept,
yeah,
is to tell me what these words have in common.
Really? This is just a straight old puzzler without obfuscation.
Without obfuscation, without a lot of explanation.
Wow.
Without eating up a lot of time.
This harks back to the days of yore.
Indeed. You're what?
All right, I'm going to write these down. Get the pencil, is that what you're saying?
Get a pencil.
Well, let's wait up while,
okay,
while
we'll give everyone a minute.
Everywhere, six of them, have a minute to go and get the pencil.
Okay.
Time's up. That's
okay,
that's the Looney Tunes
what
thing.
Do the following words have in common?
Yeah. Wait a minute, I gotta get a pencil. Go ahead.
Deft.
Yeah.
Like he made a deft move.
Yeah.
First. He came in first.
Mm-hmm.
Calmness. He was overcome by calmness.
Yeah.
Canopy. He opened the can of peas and carrots for dinner. Canopy.
Canopy.
A canopy covered the boat so he wouldn't get wet.
I gotcha.
Laughing. It was no laughing matter.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. Needs no further explanation. Crab cake. As in, I dropped two crab cakes in my shorts and nobody knows.
I just dropped.
I just dropped. and nobody noticed. Hijack.
Hijack.
So I'll read the list again. Deft. First. Calmness. Canopy. Laughing. Stupid. Crab cake. And hijack. Now, I can't tell you from whom I stole this puzzle, because if I did, go buy the book for...
Yeah,
you know,
jeez,
whatever, and so
that's very interesting.
Now,
interestingly, I wrote two columns of four words each. How did I know that was going to happen like that?
That was bad thinking. Anyway, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a winning $40 million jackpot lotto ticket. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square. Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. The number, if you'd like to call us here, is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from Jamaica Plain, Matt.
Matt.
With an H at the end?
With an H. You're good. Did you know Sarah spelled backwards is harass?
Almost, yeah.
So I'll try not to harass you guys too much.
All right.
But we know from the fact that you live in Jamaica Plain. My brother is going to tell you exactly what year, make, and model of car you drive.
Oh, good luck.
Hold on. He's going to do that.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm gonna guess a 91 Nissan Sentra.
Way off.
I think we definitely have here a
78 Colony Park.
No, I feel German.
No,
I feel Japanese.
It's a 95 Honda del Sol.
There you go.
Now, the important thing about this car is that it's red. That's all that really matters.
All right.
So people keep breaking into it and hitting it. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for how to make the car more visible and how to stop people from breaking in.
Well, I mean, you may just have a bad case of bad karma.
Well, I may have a bad case of bad karma, and that is what my brother said to me, but I don't really like to listen to him because he's younger.
Now, is your car parked on the street?
It is parked on the street.
And is yours the only one that's vandalized?
No, there's a lot of vandalism going on in JP. In fact, when this car first got broken into and I called Honda, they said that their body shop had been broken into also. It made me feel a little better. But let me tell you what they took, because it's pretty funny. They took the seats the first time.
Yeah.
And the second time they took a big pack of toilet paper, 12-pack of Diet 7-Up, and the knob off the gear shift.
Toilet paper,
no kidding.
Hey.
Everybody needs it, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
Figure.
See, I don't think from this list that you could profile the thieves, and I'm willing to bet you that it's a different group every time.
Maybe so.
Seats.
I actually don't think so, because the first time they broke in, they broke the little switch that turns on the alarm. And then they broke in again within a week of my getting it back from the dealer.
Oh.
I think it was the same guys, although I don't know why they didn't take the seats again the second time.
Right, because you had what?
New seats.
Brand new seats.
But the insurance company was too cheap to get new seats, so maybe that's why they didn't take them the second time.
Ah. Oh, they bought you used seats.
They bought me used seats.
Ah, but they might have been better than the ones you started with.
You might have bought the same ones back.
They were a different color, so I know it wasn't the same ones.
So you want to deter the thieves?
I do. They haven't actually broken in since I got the alarm fixed, which makes me think they live on my street, which is really depressing.
Well, look at it this way.
Yeah?
If they can't get into your car.
Yeah.
And we could recommend, I'm sure, a bunch of things that would deter them or perhaps even prevent them.
Yep.
Then they may go and do someone else's car.
True.
And then those people would go ahead and do things to thwart the thieves.
Ah.
And then they're going to break into your house. So would you rather have them come into your car and steal a lousy thing of toilet paper?
And then the other question is, even more important, is what do I do to make this car more visible? Because big white trucks keep hitting it. And my brother said to me, buy a new car. That's your only option, because this car is so small.
Oh, but no, if you buy a new one, they're going to really rip. Plus, the insurance is going to kill you.
I know. I don't want a new car. I adore this little red car.
You need to attach flags to it.
Okay. Some big American flags?
Well, any kind of flags.
Okay.
They will keep garbage trucks from plowing into you. And you can put these flags on long poles, flexible poles.
Yeah.
But it will also make your car appear special.
Ah.
Yeah.
And I think that alone...
scare people away.
...will discourage the thieves.
But, that's what you got to do?
Get
a vanity plate that says something scary, like FBI. Does anyone have that one? FBI 2. Two, just two.
Or FBIU. How about...
that's it.
How about a
CIA 7.
With a skull and crossbones on it.
Yeah.
Now, does this mean my brother was wrong?
Well,
yeah.
You should never listen to a younger brother.
Yeah,
Sarah.
I agree.
Yeah.
No matter what your younger brother says, just go...
I can't wait to tell him that.
See you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Larimore from Nashville, Tennessee.
Larimore.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take a stab at this. L.
Very good.
A-R-R-I-M-O-R-E.
Yeah, too many R's. It's Larimore.
Wow. Now, Larimore must have been a last name of somebody that you got as a first name.
Well, actually, it was. That's my dad's name, but I think his great-grandfather, that was the last name of somebody he was named for.
Ah.
Yeah, it had to be.
So you and your dad have the same name.
Right.
So you're Larimore Jr.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Well, I have a 1986 Mercury Grand Marquis, and it's silver, if that matters. But
it may.
But I bought this car about 3 years ago from my grandmother, shortly before she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great car, but in the last few weeks, I've developed a hiss that's coming from somewhere around the steering column inside the car underneath the dash.
Yeah. It's those snakes that she hid in there. Did you have pet snakes?
Not that I know
not
of.
Not that you know of.
She was always full of surprises. This may have been something she wanted to leave me was her pet snake. I don't know.
So is this hiss a constant hiss while the engine's running?
No. Well, actually, it is. When I start the car and it's in park, it's there just a little bit. And it changes in intensity and in pitch as I put it in different gears, mainly the forward gears. And as I'm driving, the sound gets lesser in volume as I accelerate, but once the engine and the transmission catch up.
And
one more clue
is
that since this has started happening, the automatic
brake release doesn't work.
I have located down at the bottom of the steering column by the firewall, there's a little C-shaped plastic and metal thing, which I think the noise is actually coming from.
That's right.
Two pieces of hose attached to it.
One of those pieces of hose.
Finger right on it, so to speak.
So to speak. One of those pieces of hose goes through the firewall.
Okay.
To the engine where it is connected to a source of vacuum.
Okay.
The other end of that hose goes to the emergency brake release mechanism, you know, the foot pedal release mechanism.
Okay.
That device that you see with the two hoses connected to it
right.
is connected to the shifter.
Right.
So that when you move the shifter out of park,
mm-hmm.
it sends vacuum from the engine
mm-hmm.
to this brake release thing and pops the pedal.
Right.
You need to unscrew this thing. I think there are a couple of little screws that hold it on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the Mercury dealer and put it on the counter.
Say, I want one of these.
And say, give me one of these.
Let me just ask you this in terms of my own personal health safety. Is the air or whatever it is that's going through there, it is not a carbon monoxide or anything?
No, it isn't.
No, it probably won't kill you, but you find yourself talking slower?
My IQ has dropped a bit, I think.
No, what it is, in fact, is it's suction.
Okay, it's sucking. Then it's not.
Right, if you had all the windows closed, it might suck all the air out of the car.
Right, okay. And then it would suck you on top of it,
if
right
you notice
through that little hole.
If you notice your necktie starting to move,
yeah.
Get out of the car right away. But take that thing out and go to actually, you might be able to even get it at a regular parts store, like a Napa store or something like that.
Great.
See you later. Thanks for your call.
Thank
Good
you very
luck.
Much. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David from Brookline, Mass.
Hey, David, what's cooking?
You're the second caller from Massachusetts.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think there were two people who had the same problem, but if there are other people that live in my neighborhood, they are listening, they may have the same problem.
Let's hear it.
Really? That would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
So I've got a 95 black Saab 9000.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it smells so bad on the inside that my wife refuses to ride in the car anymore.
Who spilled the milk?
No, no milk. This was a bizarre crow incident. And the basic story is about 2 months ago, we came home one night, and we sort of heard, gaw, gaw, up in the trees above where we park. And there were literally hundreds, if not more, of these large black birds in the trees.
All taking a dump on your car.
You are exactly correct. And the next day, I have no idea what these guys had been eating, but the rainbow assortment, not to get too disgusting, but the rainbow assortment of problems on my car was just unbelievable. And so I'm a medical doctor, and I think of myself as a diagnostician, so I went out and I sort of sniffed the car in all different areas, and it seemed pretty obvious that this smell was coming from the intake area where the hood meets the cowl, the windshield.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's where fresh air comes into the vehicle.
Oh, man.
Or anything else that you dump in there.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. So since
I mean, here's the imagery that comes to mind for me. Most of these crows were teenage males, and they're sitting around, and one of them says, hey, want to have some fun? Let's all go take a dump on David's car.
See how many of us can hit the vent.
Yeah. And they say, great, there's a tree right where he parks anyway. Let's get another 100 guys and we'll go over there now.
Well, so I took it, I asked my dad, who's an engineer, what to do, and he said, you know, buy a new car. And so I then went to the dealer, and after they were done laughing at me, they said, well, you can either, for about $75, have some filters replaced on the outside, or for about $750, they would be willing to
replace the ductwork.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
That's it, man.
I don't think there's any
other
solution.
You're killing me.
Now, the good news is that
there could be a fire.
There could be a fire while someone's doing this, yeah. The good news I was going to say is that it may be covered by your insurance.
Really?
Ooh, what an interesting idea.
And do we routinely get crow policies?
Well, you know, there are always, you've ever put a claim in with an insurance company for anything, you try to put a claim in for something you think you are absolutely covered for, and they say, oh, sorry, you're not covered for that.
That didn't happen on our Thursday,
because you didn't
did it?
Read clause number 22, B, C, and D,
yeah.
In which you say, oh, darn. But there are lots of times when you are covered for things that you would think would be absurd. And they cover you for the absurd stuff because they figure, well, no one's ever going to call us about crow droppings and ventilation. Let's cover that. Let's cover that. So you may be covered. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, they may also laugh at me.
Yeah, or they'll laugh at you, but use another name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get a gun so you can shoot those crows out of the tree next year. Good luck, Dave.
Thanks. Good luck, man.
Thanks so much for your help.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Harvard Lawn, Grey Poupon, Ice Bonbon, Lawn of Fawn, Fried Wonton, Buttered Drawn Garlic Prawn, and Steamed Udon, Early Dawn Munchathon is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our motivational speaker is Boris Oxoff. Our director of staff bonuses is Ray Vaughn. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the squirrels taking GRE review classes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And please, don't drive like my brother.
And please, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1011, meander through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, car cleaning tips from a pro. Boy, I could use a few of those.
Wait, is fire on the list? Because that's the only tip that's going to help you, buddy.
These are actually great tips from the best car detailer we know, Greg, over at the Charles Hotel Garage. And he tells you what products to use, what's a waste of money, and how to get chicken parmigiana off of the center console of an 09 Acura.
Oh, Bugsy's not going to enjoy that.
Well, neither did Greg.
That's professional spring cleaning tips for your car.
All week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.